There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Away we go on this little Friday edition of the show. Glad to have you here. The phone and text hotline, 343-0106. Also streaming at fmtalk1065.com. Get our podcast there, kind of a la carte, but you can also subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Deezer, any of those platforms, and get our podcast. And this hour will be one you'll probably want to share. If you're like me and have been riding over the last few years, and you're riding along, like for me, I see Botla Bar Creek a lot near the station here, or different waterways in our area, and you see those devices out in the waterway that are getting the litter, that are gathering the litter, that is, y'all have been with me for all these years, know my rant against people who throw stuff out of their car, but it happens, it gets in our waterway every time we have a big rain event, all of a sudden it comes up, here comes all the litter down, it's piling up at bulkheads, it's piling up those places, and then moving further down to places like Dog River and elsewhere. Well, you see these devices that are in the waterways that are gathering that litter, and I've looked at them for years, and I said, just everything about it was brilliant, and stumbled upon a story the other day in Yellowhammer News, which gave me the name of the guy behind the litter getter. And I'm so happy that he said yes to come on the show. Don Bates is joining us now. Thank you for being here. Thanks for what you're doing.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate the shout out.
Man, I love what you do. Mm-hmm. Love what you do. And I, you know, followed this whole discussion about keeping the litter out of our waterways. I guess really started focusing with the first term of Mayor Sandy Stimson. Mm-hmm. I started noticing the real push for that. And we're talking about cleaning up the water we have in town, let alone we can get down to talking about the Dog Rivers and the bigger pieces of water out there, but how the litter gets there comes from in town and all this water we have in town.
Yeah, all of our litter in the water, nobody's driving down to the mouth of Dog River dumping. It's all stormwater conveyed.
Right.
And I think there's a misconception that people see it going to a stormwater inlet that's being collected somewhere. That all goes to surface water. Probably 95% of the United States.
So even if it just washes off the side of one of these creeks, let alone when people have curb and gutter and see it go through there, that ends up dumping into our waterways.
Straight into the water. Straight into the water.
And it's okay for the water to do that, but what the water carries is the litter, and people leave litter on the ground. I mean, sometimes I guess people are doing it by mistake. I mean, I'm on a, you know, kind of a rant here about people who throw litter, but maybe in some cases they didn't mean to do it. It was sitting somewhere. It got washed away.
It's a couple of ways. So one way is just the active litter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the percentages, but a lot of it is coming out of trucks. You know, we got a lot of sportsmen and sportswomen that really enjoy the natural places, mm-hmm. and do not secure what's in the back of their truck.
That's right. I'm one of those people, but I do work with the truck and the boat before you leave. I know there's been, NEP has done some programs here to give you a bag to stash it in and all that to keep it out. But yeah, you see stuff.
Mm-hmm. Another issue that people don't realize is illegal dumping. A lot of times people are putting it in a place that they think is secure. The rain catches it and moves it.
End of a street somewhere in a development this, or
yep,
something?
Yep. So, you know, that's where a lot of that material is coming from. But even if it's in any street or parking lot, if you see litter, it's going into the water. That's where it's going.
And yeah, like you parking lot here at this station right here.
Yep.
Somebody throws cigarette butts and foam cups and all that.
Yep.
It ends up in the water.
Yep.
And that's what we see in our waterways. So let's take us back to this time. You're seeing this as well. You're here. You're working with Thompson Engineering, mm-hmm. right? Did you hear the news stories, or were you riding to the house and said, look at this?
I think, you know, we're both river rats.
Yes.
You know, and so our whole life, and what I believe, you know, I was fortunate to be born before styrofoam and single-use plastic even existed. You know, it was bottles and cans.
Mm-hmm.
And so just in a relatively short period of time, we've seen this proliferation of those materials. So it just aggravates me. When you go to nature, your footprint, you should be taking care of your footprint. So when the next person comes to enjoy it, they're not seeing your footprint.
That's right.
You know, and so that's
Leave
where
no
it all
trace.
Started. And so we were, when I worked at Thompson Engineering, great company, had almost 20 years with Thompson, we were doing a cleanup with Mobile Bay National Estuary Program.
So the NEP, okay.
And it was just been a, and we'll talk a little bit.
Yeah.
This Mobile, Alabama has been the perfect good storm for this to incubate between city leadership, the nonprofit groups, the NEP, some of my initiative. It took all of that to come together to give us an opportunity to come up with a concept.
So you're thinking, I mean, this is the incubator. This might not have happened in Birmingham or Jackson or
well, and
Hammond.
Also, Birmingham's right. happening now. We actually have traps in Tangipahoa Parish, Louisiana,
okay.
and Hammond. So we're in six states, getting ready to be in 10 states.
This is an amazing
over
story.
The next, and it's workforce development, so there's a lot to
But you had to have
it.
You go to those other places and say, look what we did in Mobile.
It's that. So it's the okay. start. We have a little model that we look at that's the five pillars for a successful project.
Okay.
And all of these things, so it starts with a vision,
okay.
which is your municipalities, things along those lines. And some of your nonprofits, too. But somebody has to see the greater vision. Then there's a communication strategy of engagement. Keep the Facebook trolls in their place when you're trying things,
right.
breaking things, doing it.
Right.
Funding's a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm missing one of my pillars. So I'm going to get in trouble. But the an engagement side of it
mm-hmm.
is a big part of it. And then we add the full-time maintenance to the project. So we don't sell the litter getters. We actually do a maintenance contract.
I'm going to talk about that because any job that involves a pair of lacrosse hip boots got my attention.
Good work.
That's cool stuff.
About 10 years ago, I told somebody, you got to be careful what you say, that if I could put my hip boots on and go to work, I'd found my career. Well,
right.
I didn't realize that was going to be fishing for litter, but that's what we do.
So,
but what we started was Mobile Bay NEP. We did a cleanup. Maple Street, urban waterway, goes into One Mile Creek, Three Mile Creek, Mobile River, Mobile
Out
Bay.
Out to the bay, right.
And picked up several hundred bags of litter that day and 400 yards of bank.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and punched the bully in the mouth.
Yeah.
The comment was, and Roberta Swan, who's just been a visionary, you know, and mm-hmm. love her ideas and being a part of some of that, said, you know, it's just going to rain, the litter's going to come back.
Yeah.
And that's the concept of the first litter getter. I said, I think I could build a trap closer to this outfall from draining of some urban, and instead of 20 volunteers taking all day to clean up 400 yards, I think I can concentrate it right at that point.
Instead of having to have these events we've had over time, you know, with some regularity, but it's going to be the big cleanup on Saturday or whatever. But in the meantime, there's stuff that's made its way out to the river, out to the bay.
And we'll see you next year. We'll do it all over again.
Right.
Definition of insanity.
Yeah. You get a T-shirt, you feel good, yeah. but it's really
so
just a...
We built the first one. I'm going to keep it simple. I like the labor versus technology.
I like your design, but those, yes.
And so I built one, had a friend that lived over in the Doleve watershed, and I threw it in the water just to see how it would float, what it would look like. Looked great. I actually talked to Roberta about it. She said, go put it in the water. Then had a meeting with some city staff, with Rosemary, talked to them about it. They were into it. So that was our first pilot site. It rained. It worked. I have the picture of the first rain event.
How was that?
Site.
I mean, because that's like kind of a proud father kind of moment, right? You show up and you're like, yeah, did this work? Did it work?
It was a eureka
yeah.
type moment, you know.
This thing that you had pictured, now you made it, and yeah. now, okay, here comes the
right.
test, Don.
And so you got to be careful. You got to stay modest and all this, because I was like, wow, we figured this out. I go back 2 weeks later, it's torn up. Small rain. I'm going, oh, well, there went that.
Uh-huh.
You know, this isn't durable. It turns out we had a 12-foot alligator hanging out at the site. He decided to eat the first litter getter.
Well,
but we were able to replace it. So from that one, we're on our fourth generation device that's more durable.
Is that the one we're seeing?
Seeing now. Yeah, we're very pleased with that one. It's working really well. We've kind of designed it to handle some extreme flows. When in extreme flows, you just kind of survive them, but they're working great.
Yeah, and now we come back from the break, I want to talk about that because we get rains and then we get rains, and then we get tropical weather rains as well, and how you built something to stay ahead of that. Coming right back, more with Don Bates from Litter Getter at Osprey Initiative online. We'll talk more about this and get your questions as well when we come back on Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with Don Bates. Litter Getter, the Osprey Initiative. If somebody, and I want to get you closer to that mic too, if somebody is wanting to look up, as we're talking, look up your website, see pictures, see what we're talking about, where do they go?
Right. So our website is www.osprey.world. And then we're on Facebook and Instagram. Don't use Twitter much, but as Osprey Initiative.
All right, very good. Y'all can check it out there. We put some links up as well through our social media. And take you back to the design. You said you're in your fourth iteration, right? Mm-hmm. It's 4.0, yeah, I forget, right. 4.0 of this. So you, I mean, is this like a backyard in the shop designing this kind of thing?
It was a partnership. So yeah, definitely. I built the first one out of stuff at Home Depot. Then we work.
So you're running to the, you got something in your head. I think we've all been through this right on a weekend, but not at the level you have, and running, getting parts and doing.
Built the first one, played with it. You know, I could almost do a Shark Tank model now. You start to understand what it takes from a concept to completion to an actual career, which of course I left Thompson 2 years ago to do this full time.
You're doing
this, so this is what we do with a staff of almost 30 folks now.
Wow, Don,
a lot of part-timers, you know, to get there. But so yeah, we built the first one, then Brunson Net and Foley helped us with the next round. We were made them out of more of the crab cage material. And then we went through there, and we just needed a more durable trap. And so we worked with Custom Metal Fabrication down on Dolphin Island Parkway. We still buy our floats from Brunson, and they've been with us all the way with our new design. They still build our traps.
Yeah, I want to talk the floats and all the mechanisms here, as people can picture this and then go look at the pictures of it. I'd said to you, I think, before we started during the news break, that, and I have friends that are civil engineers and all that, and sometimes I go, y'all try to just bow up at Mother Nature. And I've, you know, all my years having camps on the river and living on the, it is best to learn that what is the martial art that they get out of, judo or something, you get out of the way, you use the energy of the other. And I saw that in your design. Instead of coming in and putting something hard in, usually we think sheet piling and concrete and rebar, you did something completely different.
So it's learning. We grew up kids playing in the ditches. I think a lot of folks here will have that same, and little boats and little, you know, crawfish traps and
my
everything
childhood,
we do.
Yeah.
So we really just took some of that knowledge as we built this, because Mother Nature's going to win. Upset conditions, the log. So we wanted to work with nature, which the way our trap works, we can work with eddy currents, how things move. And the trap is just one piece. We have multiple products now that we're also.
And the trap is, for people who haven't seen, the width of that is,
it's about 4 feet.
About 4 feet. Yep. And so you have floating on pontoons. It's got its mouth end to the current. Mm-hmm. Current's coming into the mouth end. And then you anchor's the right word. You retain it how?
So we can either tie off to trees, and we do some tree protection when we do that, or we use tent stakes. Not tent stakes, you know, fence posts. Yeah. We'll drive them. So everything we do, we can move it. What we also find is that once we install, flow conditions may change a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so we may need to drop the trap back 50 yards, up 100 yards. We like a nice smooth flow. And so
A bend, usually on a straightaway?
We like straightaway, yeah. Straightaway. You can get weird eddies that go on the bend. So we'll untie it. We can actually move the trap very easily. That's another thing that people really like.
And I don't know if you did it, made it because of that, but yeah, it makes you completely mobile with your
completely mobile. And so again, if we were going to build the $1 million solution, you can kind of go do the crazy and it's going to be here forever. But the fact is, if our trap's not working at that spot, we can actually pick it up and move it to another location.
It is brilliant too, this, the way, you know, you have it anchored, I'm using that term, but anchored to the bank on the two sides, and then you have these floats, you're talking about Brunson floats. And so that's letting wind and current, by the nature of wind and current, like you and I both growing up playing in ditches, it finds the sweet spot. You don't have to, it itself finds
itself
a sweet spot.
Finds it. It's going where the litter's going to move.
Right.
You know, is exactly what it does. And here, what we're finding, so we're in mountain areas, all kinds of different areas, but in Mobile, you know, we get the regular rain, we get the flash rain, we get the hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
So the little rains is what we're built for. We survive the big ones. We build weak points into our traps to where if we have to have a boom separate, that's fine. But mm-hmm. we clean our traps out within 48 hours of a rain event. So
yeah, the idea is, right, I think I'm following, and that's why the, you know, if you do some big construction, it gets knocked out and it's wiped out for 6 months while they rebuild. Yours, if you get some event that it can't, you just come back the next day and reset it.
We just reset it. We've lost three traps in the last 2 years, none in Mobile of our new design. And, you know, sometimes we'll go put them out there, but we're able to fix them. And usually within 24 hours of a rain event, if we do have something fail, we've already replaced it and have fixed everything.
You're talking about moving them. I got a lot of people here asking, can they get them deployed on different waterways? And how's that process go? Is it through the city or do they contact you? Right. Or
it's both. You know, we always take emails. It's not as easy as people think. We've got permits with the Corps of Engineers. We have liability insurance for putting things in the water. Your cities and your counties have the ultimate responsibility of water, and drainage is going to trump litter.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're always open. There's a lot of things going on now. We're in this area, we're in Three Mile Creek and Dog River. We have six traps in each. Great partnership with the city and the different groups. Dog River Clearwater Revival has mm-hmm. been a great partner with the work we're doing. And we're hopeful that the Three Mile Creek partnership is going to continue to expand, get their feet under them. So we usually work with the groups doing that for that watershed. And so we can really go anywhere. We have one trap at Alligator Alley, so we're cleaning all of Alligator Alley. Daphne Utilities is sponsoring
Eastern Shore,
that.
Yeah.
And then we have a trap in Foley. It's an upper tributary of Bon Secours.
Okay.
And so cities fund us, different things. So, you know, a lot of times we may have a project already going, but again, it's not as simple, and it's a service contract with that. But we're also doing tactical cleanups on top of the litter traps.
Right.
And that's really, I think, again, it started here in Mobile. I think Mobile was the perfect place for this to start. Mainly because
of those partnerships,
the partnerships,
more than geography,
the visions, they're working. People are working well together.
Okay,
and so even with getting Corps of Engineer permits, that team was engaged in helping us, and you know, they saw the value of it, and they helped us do what we need to do to get in the water.
Well, these, and you mentioned headwaters, so people understand, and a lot of people do have seen them that are texting in right now. But yeah, you're not in places that people are running a boat.
Mm-mm. We specialize in the non-navigable. We would prefer not
You're
to
You're in
be.
The ditches.
We want to be in ditches. That's where the litter's starting.
That's where, yes.
Why wait to the Gulf of Mexico to get it? Let's go get it where it's happening.
It makes more – I mean, any of us that are raking up leaves right now from live oaks in our yard understand that it's easier to get it right. Don't blow it out. Let's get it up against the side of a wall or something like that, and then we can start raking it up in a more confined space, and that's where y'all put your devices. These are – do you measure, Don, like one per – is it mileage or are there sweet spots for
– Sources, yeah. It's sources. We use natural – you know, once we're working in a waterway enough, even trees, you'll get natural eddy currents. Here,
a place that's already going to get
– It's already going to collect. Okay. And so here, like with hurricanes, everybody would think that the hurricane just really blows the litter out. But usually what you have is tidal surge.
Mm-hmm.
So what we actually see with hurricanes is you may have some upland rain, but it's hitting that tidal surge. So like in Eslava Creek, it will eddy into Rabi Creek.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to go to that weak spot. Water's going to find the weakness. And so you may get the litter in that eddy current. And so, we, of course, identify those spots.
Right. That you get, it seems to be, more dialed in every rain event that happens. You're more and more dialed in.
You learn that water.
This is fascinating. We're going to go to the break here. Coming right back, more with Don Bates, Litter Getter. And you've seen these in the waterway, and people are saying where this somebody just saw one by Lowe's on the Beltline.
Right.
Yeah. So they're tracking you. We're noticing these. We're coming right back. More of your questions as well at 343-0106.
This
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And great to have our guest, Don Bates, in from LitterGitter to talk about these devices that so many of us have seen. I kept saying mobile, but you're talking about being in Foley. You're talking about being at Alligator Alley. So, I mean, Baldwin County folks have had a chance to see these as well.
Correct.
Yeah, the nature of where you put them, these are places almost, I'm riding around.
Yeah, the traps work, but we also like the awareness component. You know, yeah. I think the true deal with litter, and I know it's you know, Mayor Stimson's been after it, and right. The city council's been very supportive of our work, too, is we got to start preventing it before it ever becomes litter.
Mm-hmm.
And so our traps, we like them visible. For the most part, our clients like them visible because it's an awareness tool mm-hmm. also.
Yeah, and maybe that helps. It helps the right-minded people. There's still it's a whole other rant right. of people who just litter just a litter.
And the water concentrates it. So if you look at, you know, mm-hmm. 100 acres comes down to a 3-foot-wide creek.
Right.
You know, it doesn't take a lot to concentrate that litter.
How often do you have to clean those out? Is there a regular, you're talking about the maintenance schedule. Yeah. Is that something that's done, like, you know, that this kind of, this trap we usually fill up in this number? How's that worked on?
So typically, when we do our contracts, it's twice a month regardless, because we also want to inspect them, make mm-hmm. sure they're ready for the next rain event. But it's really the rain events that flush the litter.
Okay.
And so our agreement on our contracts is we clean them out within 48 hours of a rain event.
Okay, so if there had been a big rain last night, if
we'd be working today.
Yeah, okay.
So our guys were ready. Across our spectrum, they watched the weather.
Mm-hmm.
They've already told, we already knew that we had the rain event coming through, so we were prepared to do litter getters today. But since it kind of poofed from the rain event,
a third of an inch, maybe.
We converted back, and now we were working on litter boat work.
Now, litter boat work, how's that happen?
We are under contract with the City of Mobile to work 3 days a week, and 2 days in Dog River and 1 day in Three Mile Creek. And it's one of their permit requirements, and we do that contract for the city.
What do y'all do? What's a day like that?
So typically we get in the morning. We know the hot spots, and we've just been a great relationship with city staff. We've kind of built our the accumulation points where the litter is.
You know the hot spots.
We know the hot spots. And so we'll get those spots first, and then we're doing tactical cleanups of the entire watershed. So for Dog River and Three Mile Creek, twice a year we're going to start in the Fingers, the upstream, and work our way downstream and try to get to the high water mark.
And yeah, because that's the other thing. It's not always right there. If the water was up 2 or 3 feet, it might be back in the woods.
Yeah, you got to get. So our guys, they'll get back there and do it. And we work our way down. If a rain event happens, we'll go hit the hot spots, and then we'll get back on the tacticals
gotcha.
After we catch up. So, and we kind of get this litter profile, and most of y'all would know it. We know what the primary sources are, in Dog River, for instance. So we go get those areas first and stay on those areas. But by getting them, and they're still relatively upstream, we're still seeing a massive benefit downstream in Dog River proper.
Well, you and I were talking about this, folks, after Sally or Zeta saying, where's all the litter in Dog River? Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty neat. It was, you know, you're out there working hard. Our staff is amazing. They're local. We try to hire local wherever we're working because we want to create ambassadors. All my folks are expected to be able to talk to a class of kindergartners about where litter comes from, what we're doing. But we just had a great result after these hurricanes. There was some litter, you know, it still finds it, but we just saw a huge reduction in downstream litter in people's yards, and a lot of people commenting on it, the fact that it was a lot of vegetative debris, but they did not see the usual litter.
Yeah, and probably because,
forever.
Number one, the litter getter working. Number two, that tactical or that response. Where there weren't these places that have been building up for 6 months. Here comes the water from the storm.
Exactly.
And they hear it all.
And we're able to get them. So the tacticals, Mobile and the leadership of Mobile, we're getting asked a lot now. A lot of communities are wanting to emulate what Mobile's doing. And the true trick in all of this is the tactical cleanups. The litter traps become almost secondary catchment. And if you're doing that,
they're like maintenance versus
they're your backup. If you're getting the litter upstream, mm-hmm. and then those are catching what you might be missing mm-hmm. upstream. If they're your primary, you know, it's really a pretty sustainable, you know, pretty proactive approach to litter in Mobile. And we're seeing that a lot of folks are asking, they're getting phone calls at the staff level in Mobile. How are y'all doing that down there?
Right.
So it's been a great, and we're just a piece of it, you know, a small piece of it.
Well, let's talk about this, the business expanding. How many states now?
I think we're in 6 states, and we'll be in 10, I believe, by the end of April.
How does, when you do this and you go areas that don't have the same topography we do, like it'd be, to transition from Mobile to Southeast Louisiana, okay, it making sense to me. But you got to go places that have more topography and geography. What does that mean?
We're getting our behind kicked occasionally.
Yeah, I was wondering. I mean, you get downhill.
So we're learning that side of it.
So Birmingham. You mentioned Birmingham. I'm thinking Birmingham.
Yeah, they've been a great partner. We have one trap, and I get my hope nobody in Birmingham is going to get mad at me. It's Valley and Village Creek. I think it's Valley Creek that drains all of downtown Mobile.
Comes into the Cahaba. Yeah, I think it is.
And so we actually put a litter getter right where the concrete culvert dumps out into that creek. And first couple times we had some problems, but we came up with a concept with almost a sacrificial boom in front of our litter getter that knocks the current down.
Slows it down for the
litter. It knocks the turbidity off the top of the water as it comes rushing out of these two, I don't know, 12-foot box culverts, pretty big culverts. It was coming out. It was real turbulent, which let stuff get under our boom. So we put a boom in front of that. And it's just glass behind it now. And so it'll hang up a log or anything like that. But just
so
there
is, so it is different. I mean, that's
very
a different.
Very different. We see pretty big flashes. Now, we had a trap in a Toulmin Spring over here that saw 7, 8, 9 foot flashes because of, you know, just the topography in that area. But you figure it out, and our staff is trained to deal with it. And, you know, we may have a trap get broken. We replace them. And if it happens again, we may have to move it to a little spot. But all these creeks and rivers have a calm spot in them, and sometimes you just have to go find those areas to put the trap.
Yeah, you probably eye a lot of them just when you show up, but I'm sure as you can, trial
until
and
you
error.
Get it, you know, until you get it. And then we'll go back to the data, and if we find that that rain event was one of their upset, one of their 50-year rain events, that helps us to know, okay, it's not going to get worse than this.
And the way your equipment's rigged, and people can see this, like you said, it's somewhat sacrificial. In other words, if you have one of these great events, you don't lose the whole kit and caboodle. You can you can come back.
Typically, we'll have a weak spot built into our boom system, and when that breaks, the trap will go to the side. And it'll wait, and we'll come fix it.
This, I mean, your design here, and I know different applications for different geography, but I think the sky's the limit for y'all. I mean, all 50 states, there's not a state I know that doesn't have a litter issue. Even some very rural states have them.
It is, and so it's neat to. I got a lot of cliches I use, but like I always said, if you could feed your heart and your family at the same time, and you had to go out there and really enjoy what we're doing. And my staff, I'm probably the only geezer on staff. Everybody else is 26, 27 or younger. And they're really passionate. And they get
to wear hip boots to work.
That's the official. If you get the real pair of lacrosse hip boots, not a cheap
I noticed those in
pair.
Your pictures. I said, those are lacrosses.
So you have to earn your lacrosses.
Yeah.
But once you get your lacrosse, you're in. And I've got a big guy up in Decatur, Alabama. We're trying to find something that fit him. I don't know what we're going to
do. No yellow bands that'll fit him.
Yes, we may have to cut him. You know, he's a big boy. But that's when really the neatest thing about all of this is hiring local, bringing ambassadors. At Atlanta, we worked with Workforce Development. In Charlotte, North Carolina, where the river keeper in Charlotte actually does my maintenance up there. We have a contract with them, and they're doing my maintenance. It's a lot of guys that work at the Whitewater Rafting Center in Charlotte, and they all work part-time there. And so that's my litter crew. So these are
kayakers. These guys know the water.
They know the water.
You know, and I've seen if people will go online and look, kind of a process. I watched a video of y'all cleaning out. So, I mean, in the shallower stuff, headwater, you're walking out in hip boots with the grabber thing.
We prefer the shallow water. It just makes it easier. We can get out there, knock it out, move on to the next site.
And y'all, I mean, you'll see this. You go out basically with your trash container, and you empty out the litter getter and take that out.
And another really neat part of all this, and EPA has also been a great partner in supporting our work. They can't really say we're the guy, but we've used some of their data, and some of the grants we've won, you know, have been with EPA, is the data side of what we do. So it's not just collecting the litter. Not only do we do recyclables versus garbage.
Because I was fixing to ask you about this.
We were able to recycle a lot. We're at 40% by volume of our material that we're able to recycle.
Good
now.
For you.
In Birmingham, we're at 80% because we have a specialty partner that's turning our waste plastic into diesel fuel.
Okay.
Cutting edge, tight, neat,
neat.
And
we need that diesel fuel to bring that price down.
Yeah, really. And called Neo Waste, they're great. But what's really neat about all of this, EPA asked us on one of the original grant that we developed with NEP and Mobile Baykeeper, is the ETAP process, the Escape Trash Assessment Protocol.
ETAP, okay.
And so I can send you the form. And when they first sent it to me, I gnashed my teeth. I don't have time for this bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. By the third time we did it, we call it the Rosetta Stone of litter. It is
really?
The most amazing data profile that we're able to build. So it starts with major types, plastic, metal, paper, you know, and then it breaks it into subtypes, soft drink bottles versus water bottles, beer right. cans versus soda cans, condition, so pristine versus a little degraded. Versus
okay, how long it's been out there.
How long it's been out there, and then it does branding. And so it is really quickly you're able to start building. What we're finding is there's this increased desire for corporate citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
That worm has turned over the last 5 years. And they're pretty honest. And if you can go be specific, there's a chance there might even be some additional funding. So
you can narrow it down to this, and we're close to break, but we'll talk about this when we come back. You can narrow it down and say it's more Coors Light or more Dasani or more
studies like you wouldn't believe.
Holy cow!
The cigarellas,
yeah.
You know, Swisher Sweets and all.
You know
that.
Which brands
well,
are.
We know more, it all. We know every which one of them.
It's kind of a forensic thing here.
It's forensic. It's forensic. I had an anthropology class in college, and one of the neat things then they brought in a couple bags of trash, and you opened it up, and the professor. And you got to kind of we're doing the same thing with the material we're collecting.
But this data is available, and
so the clients own the data,
right?
And so again, we're also trying to not tear up social media with all of this, but they're very interested in their footprint and what they can do about it.
I bet they are. Coming right back, our guest Don Bates with Litter Getter, and grab your questions as well at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. A lot of fun on air and during the commercial breaks talking to Don Bates with Litter Getter. And these are those devices you've seen here in Mobile and Baldwin County that are collecting litter there in the headwaters of our tributaries. But people are seeing them in other states, six states now. So,
so
you're moving this. So it's, and you mentioned that this was like the great incubation point for this. Mobile was.
It really was committed at the highest levels of city government, but also at the staff level. They have just, there's a vision there. The stormwater group, Rosemary and David they've been fighting this and they're all in, but to also take that level of commitment and then blend it with groups like Dog River Clearwater Revival, that are passionate people about their water, but they're also an informed group.
Right.
You know, and so bringing that all together, they've got, everybody knows Debbie Foster in the environmental
yes.
world here, and Debbie is very passionate, but sees it too, you know, and so she gets great support from her group. But, it takes those kind of groups because politically it has to go to where you're hearing the noise. Well, it's the beauty of a Dog River Clearwater Revival. They have expectations, but they also are very supportive of the work.
Yes, knowing that the work's got to get done. And I see this first of all, tell our listeners that City Council and Mayor need to be contacted regarding continued long-term funding for Osprey's efforts. The impact Don has had on the watershed is seismic. I love that word. I love that.
I can tell you, we have, we had to prove ourselves to the
sure.
staff level, and now we're just seeing a great, Mayor Stimson's been by our office, very engaged with what we're doing, understands what we're doing, and City Council, just approved our next round of work. So we couldn't ask for a better support structure and folks that are realistic in what we're doing. You know, you're gonna see a piece of litter out there, and we can't just go, oh, it's a failure, it's not working. This vision.
Go look at how I've judged your work is riding by the ones here and seeing the amount of litter in them,
and what it looks like downstream.
Yep.
So changing the mindset from how many pounds did you get? That's really not how we judge our work. We want to talk about what does it look like downstream.
Yeah.
And if we're stopping 90%.
Yeah, let's look upstream of the boom and downstream of the boom and judge.
Because the commitment, again, Dog River, pretty developed, you know, but with the work they're doing in Three Mile Creek is, you know, that's a lot of investment in that blue way
big
that
time.
We think is going to be a huge benefit for the future of City of Mobile. And downstream, 1 Mile Creek's beautiful, 3 Mile Creek's beautiful. But we got to get the litter out of there. And so that's our job is to make sure. And we're still working on some of the work in 3 Mile. There's existing projects now. But those should be assets to this community.
Sure.
And you got to start with the litter before you could really even jump to the true water quality issues.
Our water, I think, I know, is one of our assets as a city.
Mm-hmm.
The water. I mean, that is. And so if we had other assets of the city that people littered all over, people would be outraged. And so that you can solve this. For one of the things that makes it great to live where we do,
And it's a constant struggle, Sean. It's not like, oh, this one's fixed, let's go do it. It's fighting it, working with it. But when we're seeing that, really, that's probably the common denominator across our footprint is people changing their inner city water and getting it back to a usable asset in the community.
Because you know what? Growing up my age, in 2 minutes here, but I grew up fishing in all these ditches and riding bikes and all that stuff. I never knew it could be any different.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was just stuff in there. Well, whether it was something big like somebody threw a TV in there, or it was just six pack rings.
We go get those. You know, we're kind of on call for the city when we see something like that dumped. We can go get that. But one of our little taglines is you shouldn't have to go on vacation to see clean water.
Well said.
It's in your backyard. Enjoy it, protect it, and get that connectivity. And it one of the neatest areas. I mean, I know we're wrapping up. My favorite story about our work was we put that first trap in Maple Street, and. Once I put a trap in, people know I'm kind of funny about my toys, you know, and I pull up one day, it was a Sunday afternoon, to clean the trap out, and there was a guy with a weed eater doing something with two kids, and I'm like, oh, what's this guy doing around my trap? And I kind of boil out the truck, and this guy, and this is the site that people say couldn't be cleaned up, you know, and this guy, African-American gentleman, I walk out, he says, hey, how you doing? What are you doing? He's like, well, I just noticed the litter's gone and the weeds were growing. He was down there weed eating this random end of a street by a creek because he said, my kids like to come down here and see the water.
And that's that snowball effect.
There's your dad. So
yeah, that makes sense to me.
Let it happen. Keep doing what you're doing. It's working. And don't let a few negative folks on Facebook stop you.
Listen, the heck with social media. I see in the real world what y'all are doing. Once again, people want to get more information about this, talk about where's next and all that. Website, where do they go?
Yeah, www.osprey.world, or follow us on Instagram, Facebook. Pretty active social media. Love telling the story, and that's really
what I love seeing the video too. Yeah, I was fascinated watching the cleaning out of a trap.
It's fun. Come do it.
Don, come back soon.
Thank you, John. Whenever you need me.
All right. Don Bates with Litter Getter, our guest. Coming back next hour, Robert Kennedy Jr. is going to join us. We'll take your calls as well. 343-0106. Remember, check us out on our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can get the info about Don and all the other stories we're talking about right there. Check it out today. And reminder, too, you got a couple days to get your picture in for the gardening picture of the week for Bill Finch and the show on Sunday. Go to our Facebook page, put your gardening picture in there, and get the most number of likes and win. And win the planting cycle chart from Bill. You'll see it when you go on Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5.